Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. I'm your host, John Kuzma. This is EndZoneBlog.com's Across the Middle radio show. Thank you guys for all tuning in. And we got a lot of NFL action we're going to talk about. First things first, let's talk about these conference championship games. The Jacksonville Jaguars and the New England Patriots battle for four straight quarters. Early on, going into halftime, it looks like Jacksonville's going to win this game. But then Tom Brady rises up and does what he's essentially done his entire career, wills the Patriots to a win. And it was just a great come-from-behind victory. And we've just seen this story unfold so many times over the course of our lives. Belichick and Brady are down. They do what they have to do to get some stops on defense. And then Tom leads them downfield, scores the go-ahead touchdown, pretty much shatters the Jacksonville Jaguars' dreams. And that was huge because Jacksonville was really taking it to the Patriots, especially the Patriots' defense early on. Leonard Fournette was rumbling. Blake Bortles played good again. And really, that was Jacksonville's game. They had that one. And somehow, you know, it reminds me of Denny Green. Rest in peace to Denny Green. He was a great coach. But the Jacksonville Jaguars are who the Patriots thought they were. The Patriots really, they're so resilient. They're so well coached. They have the greatest quarterback, the greatest playoff quarterback easily ever, probably the greatest quarterback overall for everything. You know, I think, you know, Peyton Manning's in there, obviously. Brett Favre's in there. Even Drew Brees is in there. It looks like Drew Brees might end up with more passing yards than anybody. But Tom Brady, when the pressure's on, this guy always gets it done. You know, he had to be nervous. He had to be because Jacksonville was coming. You know, Jacksonville was good all year, and then they trade for Marcell Dareus, and then that defense just was cranked up a notch. That front line was just dominant. They had so many young, talented players, you know, Miles Jack, Jalen Ramsey, just guys, Telvin Smith, just so many guys that are going to make that franchise great for a very long time. But I guess all New England needs is Brady, and once again, he's their hero. You even got to see Bill Belichick smile a little bit after that game. He let his emotions go a little bit. You know, you never know when, you know, the Super Bowl runs are going to end. You know, if you're a Patriots fan, it doesn't seem like it's ever going to end, though. These guys just constantly rise to the occasion, and they deserve everything that they've accomplished. I think this is their eighth Super Bowl between Brady and Belichick together. So that says everything you need to hear in itself. So what a game on their part. They get it done, and they'll probably win it all again when it's all said and done. I didn't think they were going to do it this year because their defense was dead last in the league for part of the regular season, but never count out Bill Belichick, never count out Tom Brady, never count out the New England Patriots. To the NFC side, we had the Eagles taking on the Minnesota Vikings. I think the Minnesota Vikings scored first, and then the Philadelphia Eagles just piled it on. They end up rolling the Minnesota Vikings right off their field. They spoil the Vikings' homecoming Super Bowl. Yeah, the Super Bowl's in Minnesota this year, so the Vikings had a chance to pretty much host the Super Bowl. That would have been an insane moment just to witness. But Philadelphia wasn't having any of that. And really the hero here for me is Nick Foles. Nick Foles, I think he goes for like 352 yards and three touchdowns. He was nearly perfect in that game. He really stepped up in Carson Wentz's absence. And I almost had to wonder if Nick Foles really stepping up like this devalues what Carson Wentz did this year. Because clearly other people besides Wentz can have success in that offense. And really, that might just be a reflection of what Doug Peterson's been able to do for this team. They're just really well-coached, very talented team. They have a stable of running backs. You got, you know, I talked about Jacksonville getting Marcell Dareus halfway through the year. Philadelphia wasn't content with their roster either. Halfway through the year, they go get Jay Ajayi to bolster their backfield. So they have Jay Ajayi, LeGarrette Blount. They just have some backs back there that can handle themselves. And that really takes pressure off the quarterback. But Nick Foles wasn't even going to be denied in this game at all. He made sure that he balled out. He was definitely the better quarterback on the field. You know, if you don't remember, Foles made a Pro Bowl back in his time, his first stint with Philadelphia, I believe it was. So he was definitely better than Case Keenum was for Minnesota. And really the quarterback play was a great reflection of the scoreboard. You know, Foles throws for those three touchdowns. I think Case Keenum had one touchdown and two interceptions. Don't quote me on that. But it was clear that Foles had the better day. And now New England's going back to the Super Bowl. I think the last Super Bowl Philadelphia's going back to the Super Bowl. I think the last Super Bowl that the Eagles were in, they actually played New England. Andy Reid was the coach, and the Patriots ended up winning. So it's a good chance for the city of brotherly love to get a little bit of redemption. And how about those grease poles? The police department in Philadelphia greased all their poles with Crisco in the city of Philly just to prevent fans from climbing those poles like after if they won. We know now that the Eagles did win, and I seen a video of someone trying to climb them, but it was just funny to hear that. That's not something you see every day. And I guess give credit to Philadelphia's city, the department that runs their city, because they were proactive in their approach. Well, let's move on. We got Mike Vrabel to the Tennessee Titans. Wow, what a big hire for the Tennessee Titans. As much as I hated to see Mike Mularkey go, because he got the Titans to the playoffs, which was huge, and then he upset the Kansas City Chiefs. It's just huge to get Mike Vrabel, because this guy is climbing the coaching ranks really fast. He's going to be a better coach than he was a player. Vrabel was a good player. I think he made I'm not sure, but I think he only made one Pro Bowl. He had something like 56 career sacks. So he's a good player. But, you know, sometimes players are cerebral, where they understand the football IQ, the X and O side of the game. They just understand, and maybe they're not, like, the most athletic physically. I'm not saying that our Vrabel is exactly that, you know, because he might have been a good athlete too, but he's definitely a bright football mind, and he kind of fits that mold a little bit. I really believe that he's just going to bring his football intelligence to the Tennessee Titans and really take this team to the next level. His specialty is defense. If you don't remember, he was a New England Patriots linebacker. So in a sense, he was mentored by Bill Belichick. He got a chance to see how the Patriots run their organization and how they do things over there. So he's going to somewhat bring that mentality to the Tennessee Titans. I think ownership had to appreciate that when they were looking at him and kind of selecting him as the ideal candidate. And he's already vowed to make Marcus Mariota into a star. Mariota struggled a little bit statistically. He did pick it up in the playoffs, played a little bit better, but Marcus Mariota threw more interceptions than he did touchdowns. When you're a kid that's supposed to be that highly talented, that can't happen. And he's a tough kid. You know, he gets hurt a little too much. I'd like to see him try to get away from being so injury prone. I don't know exactly how you do that. I guess prepare your body better, train a little bit better. But even then, you're still going to get your nicks and dings. But Mariota, he has to, one, stay healthy. Two, he has to eliminate turnovers. Three, he's got to find a way to just put up more touchdowns. Like, as many as he put up in the regular season, I think it was only like 13. I think he threw like 13 touchdowns and 15 picks. That's not going to be good enough moving forward. We'd like to see him around 30 touchdowns and like 15 interceptions, or even lower than that. So he's got to figure a way to get that back on track, but maybe it was just a rough year for him. But that kind of gets a little bit negated when you think that they went to the playoffs, he picked it up in the playoffs, and he led them to a surprising upset over the Chiefs. So that was a kind of Marcus Mariota silencing the critics a little bit. So that was big for his confidence and for his momentum moving forward. We're going to talk about Takaris McKinley, Tack McKinley from the Atlanta Falcons. Very good pass rusher off the edge. He put up six sacks in the regular season. Then he put up 2 sacks in the playoffs. So 8 combined sacks for his rookie year. That's a pretty good season in the National Football League. When you think that a lot of rookies come in, they're timid their first year because they're the young guy on the team. They don't have experience. They have to build up their confidence just like anybody else. If a player who is a star in college but doesn't build up his confidence in the pros, he can kind of fade away. We see it happen all the time. So I think it's big that Tack McKinley came out from day one, established his dominance, was a force off the edge, and now the Atlanta Falcons are kind of trending upward on defense, and they're losing a little bit on offense. So this defense has a chance to kind of step up and do what Philadelphia's defense did this year and what Minnesota's defense did before they got thrashed by the Eagles. Minnesota had the number one defense up until the playoffs. So they were good all year. Philadelphia's good all year. And Atlanta can kind of be the next one of those defenses. They got a great defensive line. And one thing they do is they recruit speed. Man, Deion Jones, I think, ran like a 4.34 for middle linebacker. That's insane. And if you watch any Falcons game, Deion Jones is everywhere smacking people. Tack McKinley, he runs a 4.59. So they got guys that are just fast, and they got guys that have great RH factors. My high school coach used to say, what's your RH factor? And what he means is how fast can you run and how hard can you hit? Their RH factor in Atlanta right now is very, very good, and that's why we've seen this defense. I think they're a top 10 defense this past year, so they're only going to get better. And their GM has done a great job. Thomas Dimitroff. I think he's done a very good job of putting all the pieces together. Moving forward, let's talk about the Arizona Cardinals hiring Steve Wilks. The Cardinals go defenses for their next head coach, Steve Wilks. He was the Carolina Panthers defensive coordinator. And this is a good hire because the Cardinals have a lot of defensive talent. They had the sack leader in Chandler Jones. I think he had 17 sacks for the year. And the Cardinals right now are a 3-4 defense. I would like to see Wilks come in and put in that 4-3 cover 2 that they run in Carolina, because that cover 2 is a very simple but a very effective defense, and that will simplify things for Buda Baker, Tyrann Mathieu, Patrick Peterson on the back end, and then bump Chandler Jones from a 3-4 outside linebacker to a 4-3 defensive end. And what that does is that lets Chandler Jones rush on every single snap. As a 3-4 outside linebacker, you're going to have plays where you drop in coverage, and that doesn't do Jones's skill set any justice. You want him to get upfield and after the quarterback every single play around that offensive tackle. So why not move him to the end, and instead of just keeping him on one side, just flip him every once in a while. Just flip him at the ends so he can get fresh matchups, and you can use him on the wide side of the field and things like that. So, yeah, move Chandler Jones to outside, from outside linebacker to defensive end in the 3-4, and he could go from a 17-sack guy to a 20-plus sack guy just because he's going every play. That'd be huge for that scheme. And then you got the guys sitting in zone behind that who are – you save a little bit of energy in zone, because when you're playing man, you got to run everywhere. You can do that once in a while, but you want to use that a little sparingly. Good quarterbacks struggle against zone a little bit more than they do man, just because – if you blitz me, I can run a slant, and there's a lot of open – the windows are so much easier to make in man, because there's just players missing from a coverage standpoint. So let's see. I want to see Wilks take this defense, take all those playmakers, Hassan Reddick, all those guys I said, Buda Baker, Tyrann Mathieu, Patrick Peterson, all take Chandler Jones and all of them, and then convert them over to 4-3. Optimize those players' abilities, get the most out of them, and that will be huge for this team next year. And then they got to find the quarterback for the future to replace Carson Palmer. But things are definitely heading in the right direction, and you have to respect the Arizona Cardinals' decision to go defense, because, you know, that's where their strong point was, and they want to get even better in that area. That's all I got for tonight. I appreciate you guys' time. Check out Endzone Blog on Twitter at Endzone Blog NFL. I appreciate your time. Have a great night.